He received the draft of a proposal for a long-term ceasefire agreement, something that I've been developing together with my Hamas counterpart over the past year. Since we've had escalation two or three times over the last month and a half, I decided it was time to try and push again, and my Hamas counterpart and I met in Egypt. We worked on what we thought could be an acceptable proposal for both sides, and he began his process of consultations with people like Ahmed Jabri. I was supposed to last night receive from him a copy of the draft, which the Israeli side had asked me for, and the Egyptians asked me to send it to him. And of course, that draft never came because Jabri was assassinated. And with him, I fear for at least sometime in the future, the chance of a real ceasefire.
Of course, some Israelis might point to the fact that Ahmed Jabri had failed to stop earlier rockets this week coming from Gaza into...
No, that's not true. Ahmed Jabri succeeded in stopping the rockets that were shot to Israel, but he only agreed to do that when there was an Israeli agreement that it would adhere to a ceasefire. While there was no Israeli agreement to adhere to the ceasefire, Jabri did not enforce the ceasefire on his side. What was the point? I was in Egypt sitting with the Egyptian intelligence officer when he received a phone call from the head of the Islamic Jihad in Gaza informing him that they had agreed to enter the ceasefire. The next morning, I had flown back to Israel. I landed and I learned that a rocket had just been fired from Gaza. I spoke to the people in Hamas and I spoke to the Egyptians and learned that it was fired by some rogue Salafi group. The Hamas people asked for 2 to 3 hours to take action against this group, and the Israelis restrained themselves and didn't shoot back. And Jabri took care of it. It was over. And then there was a ceasefire and it was quiet over the last few days.
Would you describe this action by the Israelis then to assassinate Mr. Jabri as a mistake?
I think it was a strategic mistake for Israel, at least on three levels. One is that it seemed apparent that there was a possible option for a ceasefire. War should be the last option. If it doesn't work, then you go back and you figure out maybe you have to use the military. But there seemed to be an option for a ceasefire on the deck. Secondly, it was a mistake because you don't enter in this kind of operation with defining what your end strategy is. How do you exit? How do you get out of this? I don't think there's any clear definition, and I think what we see is continuous escalation. Israel is marching tanks up from the Jordan Valley now to Gaza. I drove up from Jericho, saw convoys of tanks going up. They now call for drafting 30,000 reserve soldiers, and they're preparing for a ground operation. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed and a lot of suffering, and I don't know when you decide that enough is enough. How do you get out of this? And when does the other side say enough is enough? And thirdly, I think we badly burned the Egyptian intelligence people who mitigate and negotiate, because they're the ones who were speaking to Jabri. They're the ones who got Jabri to act, and now Jabri is dead. So I think we put the Egyptians in a very bad situation, and our relationship with Egypt is not particularly good to begin with, and they have a Muslim Brotherhood regime there. We're getting off to a pretty rocky course with the new Egyptian regime there.
Have you got any idea who might replace Ahmed Jabri?
Well, I'm sure that there's always a replacement. There is never a vacuum in an organization like Hamas where there's a military wing. Someone who stepped in. They're not going to announce who it is for fear that this person would be killed. I have some ideas of who it might be, but there's someone there giving the orders. There's someone there. They have a very disciplined military operation, and someone is in control.